chapter. That's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. Good to see the presence of each of you tonight and the opportunity we have to study the Word of God. I want to thank Brother Byford for asking me to speak tonight. Appreciate Brother Chris and his ability. Appreciate the songs that were led tonight and our opportunity to serve God. In your Bible, in the book of Exodus, in the 33rd chapter, I want us to take note of several verses, beginning at verse 18. Verse 18. And Moses said, "Please show me your glory." Then he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see my face and live." And the Lord said, "Here's a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." At this time, we examine a very touching event in the Bible, the Word of God. We see this great man of God, identified as Moses, requesting and asking to see the glory of God. And what we want to do for just a few moments is look at that request and notice some things that were detailed by Moses and by God, then make application and the lesson will be yours. The first thing I want us to stop and ask is, why would Moses make such a request? And you know, that's an important question. Why did Moses desire to see the glory of God? And you know, there are different views that are presented. Some say it was a weakness on the part of Moses. They think that Moses was wanting some sign of the existence of God, and this was a sign of doubt and a question of Moses. Kind of like that of Thomas in John 20 when Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail prints and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." But I don't agree with that position. There was no rebuke to Moses for asking the question. And you'll remember that Moses had heard the voice of God in Exodus chapter 3 in the burning bush. Beginning at verse 2 through verse 6, he had already spoken to God. Then if you take your Bible, look in the book of Exodus and the 24th chapter. Not only had he spoken to God, but notice in verse 15 of Exodus 24 that Moses went into the mountain and a cloud covered the mountain and the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai. Moses had seen a glimpse of the glory of God on that occasion. He did not see God, but notice the glory of God had covered the mountain. So at that time, he spoke to God. This man had heard and had been within the glory of God, and now he desires to see the God of glory. He desires to see God. And you know, my friend, isn't that true of us? Is it not true tonight that you have a desire to see God? We've heard His Word. We've read from men of God that have spoken that the revealed Word has been revealed unto, and they've written it down. But there's still a burning desire to see God. But notice the attitude of this man. When you look at this man identified as Moses, notice several things about this man and his important request. First of all, notice that he was sincere. He was genuine. He was pure in this prayer to God. When this man made the request, "May I see you?" he was dead serious in desiring to see the glory of God. And you know, our prayer should be this sincere, like little children when we pray. Be sincere in what we ask. Be genuine. When our brother led us in a prayer just a moment ago, he talked about the sacrifice of Christ. And he talked about being sorry for the sins that put him there. And I just thought, isn't that exactly what we need to be praying? And you know, this evening we need to be sincere in our prayer. But secondly, notice the humility of this man. Go back to the book of Exodus and the 34th chapter. And when you come to Exodus chapter 34, look, if you will, at verses 8 and 9. And notice in verses 8 and 9, this man Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the earth and worshipped. And then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. Notice his prayer is one of humility. He made haste to bow his head. That man was not ashamed to bow before the great God. That man was not ashamed to show his faith. And that man was identified as the meekest man in the Old Testament. But then I want you to think about my friend when he said, I beseech you. That is a form of begging. He's not commanding God. He's begging God. It's kind of like Paul, who used this expression often when Romans 12, 1 and 2, he said, I beseech you, brethren, to present your bodies as living sacrifices. It's really Paul, through the Holy Spirit, could command that, but he's begging us that we live the life that God has commanded us so that we could be right with the God of heaven. So thus far, I look at this man, I see he's sincere, I see he's filled with humility, but there's a third thing. I see that he's a man of faith. Open your Bible to the Hebrew letter and the 11th chapter. And when we talk about the great heroes of faith, we often turn to Hebrews 11. But notice what the Hebrew writer said about Moses in verses 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. Look at the faith of that man. He would have been a prince in Egypt had he not done what he'd done. But that man said it would be better to be stricken and esteem all these things with the people of God than to be a king in Egypt. He understood that the real King of Kings is in heaven. But notice God's reply. We observe the reply that God made to Moses. Notice in Exodus 33 and verse 20, he said, no man can see my face and live. Now, my friend, I want you to think about there was a blessing of an unanswered prayer. Had God just revealed his face and glory to Moses when he asked it, Moses would have dropped dead instantly. It was God's mercy and grace that said, Moses, you can't see my face and live. You will die physically. No man has the ability to look upon God like that. But notice in Exodus 33, 22, God makes a concession for Moses. And this is the goodness of God. This is the splendor of God. When he said, my glory will pass by and you can see my back. God is saying, I'll let you see a glimpse of what my glory is like. And I want you to think about when Moses thought about that, he saw for a moment the splendor of God. Though he was in the cleft of the rock, hidden by the hand of God, he saw the glory of God pass by, and notice what the Bible says, his face began to shine. Open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 for just a moment. And when you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, notice, if you will, kindly, what the Apostle Paul had to say in verses 6 and 7. In verses 6 and 7, he talks about in 2 Corinthians 3, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letters of the Spirit, for the letters kill, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stone was glorified, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing by, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Now, notice what Paul is saying. Paul is saying the people, when Moses came down after seeing the glory of God, his face shone. And remember, Moses had to put a veil on. And notice that Paul's making a comparison saying the glory of the new covenant's even greater than that. That the glory we've seen through Jesus Christ is that which is majestic. But what a privilege for this man, for Moses to see the glory of God. I want to take that. I want to make two or three points for you, the lesson's yours. Remember that Romans 15, 4 says that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, our admonition. And so when you look back at what Moses went through, there are things we can learn and we can take home tonight. The first thing is, we should have a desire to see the face of God. Now, I know God's a spirit, but I've often wondered what God looks like. Have you ever wondered what God looks like? I have. And there's nothing with a man's desire to see God. But when you think of the glory of God, we need to recognize that it's majestic, it's powerful, it's sovereign rule. Jesus is the only one who could say he's seen the Father and continued to live. No other man has done that. One little boy said he's going to draw a picture of God, and his parents said, well, no one knows what God looks like. He said, they will when I'm done with my drawing. Well, no one knows what God looks like. But there are ways to see the glory of God. Open your Bible to the 19th Psalm. In Psalm 19, the psalmist lets us understand that we can see the glory of God through His creation. In Psalm 19, he said, the heavens declare the glory of God. When you drive around and look at the hills of Middle Tennessee, and you see the ocean, and you look at that body of water, have you ever thought of the majesticness of God? I remember the first time I walked up and saw the ocean, I thought, how is that water staying there? Why is it not just spreading everywhere? And you may say, well, you are a dumb little boy. That's right, I was. I'm still not that smart. But I'll tell you why that water's there. Because of what God told Job in Job 38:8, who said, who shut the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? He who fixed the limit, he says in verse 10. He said, I fixed my limit for it. I set the bars in the door. When I said, this far you may come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop. That's why the ocean stops where it does. God set the limits. Job, where were you when I said to the ocean, no further? This is your boundary. Have you ever thought of the glory of God and His creation? Have you looked through the hills and the mountains of God's wondrous creation? When was the last time you looked at a sunset and you saw the glory, the handiwork of God? And you praised God, and you said, God is majestic. But not only do we see God in His creation, we see the glory of God in His Son Christ. Look in your Bible in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, look at what is said in verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. There he goes again. But look at what he says. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Now no man, but notice what He said about Jesus. Go back and look at what He said in John 1 verse 14. And the Word, that's His Son, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld what? His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You want a picture of the glory of God? Look at Jesus Christ. You see it in His Son. So many people have taken their eyes off Jesus. We need to get back at looking at Christ and seeing the glory. If you want a picture of the glory of God, you look at what His Son was willing to do. Lived a sinless life. And died for our sins. In John 14, 9, you remember He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Oh, I'll tell you, we see the glory of God in His Son when we see His mercy, when we see His compassion, when we see Him weeping tears at the tomb of Lazarus. Have you ever stopped and looked at Christ and we behold the glory of God through His Son? But not only in creation and in Christ do we see the glory of God, but we see the glory of God in His gospel. Open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 1. When Paul is writing to the young evangelist, he wants him to know about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at what he says in verse 11. According to the glorious, underscore glorious gospel, of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. Do you recognize every time you open the pages of God's book, you're opening something which is glorious? You're reading the Word of God? You're reading God's instruction to us. And so tonight, when we look at the Word of God, we see something that's glorious. It's a shame that some people, and sometimes all of us can be guilty, don't open the book as much as we should. I'll never forget one time we went into a home study, and I was talking to a lady, and we asked if she had a Bible, and her son said, "I know where my Bible is. It's keeping my bed even. It's under that one leg that's a little short." And I thought, well, that's not a good place to keep your Bible, son. But you know what? He's probably getting more use out of it than a lot of people who just let dust collect on it. What we're missing is the glorious gospel, the good news of salvation, the good news of how we can please the God of heaven. But that brings up something else. When we look at His saints, we get a picture of the glory of God. You know, Brother Danny has done an outstanding job preaching about the Sermon on the Mount. But you know, my friend, when you look and notice that the saints of God are to give and do good, the reason they do good is to give God glory. In Matthew 5:16, what's He say? "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Notice what He says in John 15:8. In John 15:8, He said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear fruit, so you will be my disciples." And I'll tell you, somewhere else you'll see the glory of God. In the local church. The church universal and the local church. Open your Bible and notice what is said about the local church in the Ephesian letter and the third chapter. In Ephesians chapter 3, you'll see that the Apostle Paul is writing, and Paul is letting them know about the church. And notice what he says in verse 10 of Ephesians 3. "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places." Look at that. The church. What's he to let know? The manifold wisdom of God. Then drop down to verse 21. "To Him be glory." Where? In an institution? No, sir. Out here in the world? No, sir. Where? In the church. By Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. My friend, they can close every man-made institution. They can close every paper. They can lock the doors to every school, and the church of my Lord will march on. And I'll tell you, my friend, the church should reveal the glory of God. The day that we quit preaching the glorious gospel, the day we quit pointing to the glorious Christ, and the day that we do not tell others about Jesus is a day that we're not showing forth the glory of God. One last thing in the lesson, Jesus. When you read your Bible, notice what is said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 at a great contrast. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when Paul is writing, notice what he talks about beginning at verse 3. "Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe," watch it, "lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on thee." The last thing the devil wants is for you to see the glory of God. He wants you to be so distracted you don't see it in creation. He wants you to be so distracted you don't see it in Christ. He wants you to be so distracted you don't see it in the church. He wants you to be so distracted you don't see it in the saints of God doing good things. But notice what Paul says. "We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." I've not seen the face of God. I've not seen the face of Jesus with my naked eye, but by faith I've seen it. And you know what he said one day? If you take your Bible and look in 1 John 3, he said, "Beloved, now we are children of God.
It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I want to see the glory of God. And I want you to see the glory of God. I want us to see the face of Christ, to have it revealed, and to have that hope of being with Him. Ever wondered what God looks like? I don't know. But as Sam said one time, I can't wait. Let us all serve till that day. If you need to be baptized or you need to be restored, our prayers you'll obey the gospel. Let's